Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. It's that stressful time of year again, and this year is even more stressful than most because the economy is tanking, and it seems like there are morons everywhere, and not only that, there are more of them. So, very, very stressful time of year, and it's the time of year when it would be so easy to say, you know, I can't deal, everything is too much, I can't afford this organic pet food anymore, the prices just keep going up and up, and yeah, I know I should be getting my pets these eco-friendly toys that are guaranteed to build their self-esteem, but I just can't do it anymore. I mean, it's just too much of a burden, and just the thought of brushing and combing and taking them out, and it's like, I don't need this. I really, really don't need this. And of course, as soon as we entertain these feelings, then we talk ourselves out of it. We say, no, oh, come on. You know, that's not true. And then we turn on Oprah or someone like that to get a little hit of seasonal joy. And there's some expert talking about pets and humans who tells us about, you know, the usual shtick, the unconditional love stuff, and we go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we need more than that at this time of year. And so I'm here to give it to you. We're going to talk about practical things, practical gifts and skills that we learn from having pets. Let's begin with grace and patience, two qualities that I have learned from my cat Whittington. Whittington is going on 15, and periodically when I'm at the kitchen counter, washing dishes, preparing dinner, or whatever, he will gracefully jump up on the counter and sit on his half and his portion of the half and never encroach on the rest of the counter, the human part of the counter. And he will just sit there. And he'll look at me. His expression won't be condescending. He won't be begging. It won't be disdainful. There won't be anything negative about it whatsoever. If the Dalai Lama were a cat, he would be Whit. He just sits there with this serene look on his face. But I know what he wants. He wants me to stop what I'm doing and open a can of cat food for him. But there's nothing about his expression or his demeanor that says this. His eyes don't flick toward the cupboard where the canned food is kept and then back at me. No heavy sighs, no pleading or begging looks, nothing like that. Just calm, cool, quiet, confident serenity and patience. I cave every time. That's a valuable lesson to learn, especially during this stressful season where it's so easy to want to rage and rant. Ollie and Fricka teach me concentration and focus. As one gets older, one worries about going to hell in a handbasket, both mentally and physically. For example, when I was younger, if I woke up in the morning and the muscle in one of my legs was sore, I would think, oh, yeah, well, that's because I hauled wood yesterday or I worked in the garden or whatever. Now, if I wake up and feel that same feeling, even though the day before I did haul wood or I did work in the garden, now I think, oh, my God, I've got a clot. I've got a clot in my leg, and it's going to let loose, and it's going to go right to my heart or my brain, and I'm going to have a heart attack or a stroke. I know it. So it's nice to have pets around that give us opportunities to hone our physical and mental skills to counter such thoughts. And there's nothing quite like having two fuzzy little dogs of almost identical color teach the power of concentration. Because sometimes you want one dog, and sometimes you want the other dog. And in the case of training, if by some miracle, and this is not to say that my dogs would ever even think to misbehave, but if for some reason one of them, just by a fluke, was doing something that I considered detrimental to their well-being, such as lifting a leg on the ash can that I used to clean my wood stove, then naturally one might want to suggest to that particular animal that this was not a good thing to do. And of course, if one wants this to be effective, it behooves one to use the right dog's name. Consequently, I have spent a fair amount of time learning to distinguish the difference between these two dogs, and sometimes it does take a lot of concentration. And I appreciate that, and that's a very practical benefit of animals that balances the cost of feeding them or whatever. They've also taught me about balance. I do yoga. And there are poses in yoga. Well, all yoga poses require concentration. And the whole idea is to have both your mind and body in a state of oneness and peace. But there are poses such as a pose called the tree. I'm sure you've seen pictures of this. Stand on one foot, the other leg is bent at right angles, and you try to place the foot of that leg on the standing leg as close to your trunk as possible, and your arms are extended above your head, palms together. There are times when I have been in the tree pose, and maybe it's to my credit that I get into such a state of tree-ness that the cat will come over and brush up against me and rub my leg. So once again, I have to learn to concentrate and to focus and tell myself, it doesn't tickle, it doesn't tickle, it doesn't tickle. And then I have to keep my mind focused so that I don't automatically go into ethologist mode and think, he thinks I'm a tree, he thinks I'm a tree, he's marking me with his facial glands. What else is he going to do? Why, no, Whit, unlike some small young canines whose names I won't mention who live in this house, who might consider marking me with urine, I know that Whit would die before he would do this. On the other hand, I have seen Whit many, many times outside leave claw marks on trees. And so now I'm thinking, oh my God, he is going to claw my leg. And then it's like, breathe. Breathe deep, abdominal breathing. Focus, 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 focus. Very good exercise. Whit has yet to claw me. He has yet to claw me. In multiple yoga poses, a suggestion is sometimes made to use a rolled up towel or blanket to help you achieve that pose. In my particular routine, I go from a pose, it's called the plow, in which you're lying on the floor and your legs are over your head and back so that your toes are touching the floor. I will be the first to tell you that if you get in the plow position and a corgi comes along and wedges herself at your back, you will learn a lot about flexibility, strength, and patience. I don't know what it is about corgis, but when they decide that they want to be somewhere and they don't want to move, they get longer and heavier. They turn into cement. Having to move an unmovable object from an awkward position teaches all kinds of creativity, strength that you never knew, ways to bend your body that you never even considered before. And these are good skills. You know, even if you only experience this once or twice, this is a good feeling, particularly when you're at an age where it seems like things that should be up are falling down and things that should be down are rising up and everything shifting around, and all of a sudden, you know, one day you look in the mirror and your butt is down around your back of your knees. It's nice to know that with one hand and your legs over your head and your toes touching the floor, you can somehow sweep a cement corgi out of the way with your hand. I mean, that's power. That's a real trip. I mean, something like that will keep me going all day. There are many, many other things, practical things, that dogs and cats can teach us, and I'm sure that if you pay attention to the way you interact with your animals, you're going to discover that your particular crew probably teaches you some of the same, but even other, even more fantastic lessons than I learned from mine. But the last one I want to mention is that relative to my own well-being, my pets have taught me to believe in miracles. And this particular miracle involves Bibi. About a month ago, well, let me back up here and say that every time I let the dogs out to relieve themselves when it's dark, I turn on Bibi's lighted collar and I put it in flash mode so that I can keep track of her wherever she is in the yard. And I find that this works better than turning on the porch light. The porch light actually seems to confuse her, and also the porch light doesn't provide good light throughout the area where she normally wanders around looking for the most perfect spot in the universe to relieve herself. On the other hand, I find the flashing light works very well. But about a month ago, I noticed that it was becoming more difficult to track her. And again, because I'm older and my frame of reference has changed, my immediate thought was, oh, great. Great, this is it. My severely nearsighted eyes have finally started to improve with age. I get one prescription for glasses that is actually weaker than the previous one. So I see myself making ground here on this visual thing. And now what? Must be getting friggin' cataracts or something. Or maybe it's like senile degeneration of the lens, or senile dystrophy of the lens, or whatever the current terminology is. And this is normal aging change that occurs. And it's like, oh, great. Now I'm going blind, in addition to everything else. And this just got a little bit worse over time, and so already I'm thinking, okay, so now I probably won't be able to drive at night anymore, and you know, and the fact that I can see fine during the day, I'm not thinking, right? I'm thinking, okay, so all right, so then I start, you know, eating more squash, and I got plenty of squash from my garden, eating more squash, lots of vitamin A, and whatever, you know, whatever to help my vision and stuff, and then I think, I wonder if the battery on Bee's collar is going. Somehow I had gotten it in my mind that when the battery went, it would just go. You know, one day I would turn on her collar and it wouldn't go on. But I thought, I wonder if it's going. And so I changed the battery. And the miracle occurred. Just like in the song. All of these changes that my pets have caused me to experience, all of these little miracles, it's just like that old hymn. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.